Hello and welcome to Let's Be Real. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about how Dev Patel is not interested in James Bond. That role might be going to Aaron Taylor-Johnson anyway. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about the Andor writer who's joined on for Dawn of the Jedi, the new Star Wars movie, and live-action Moana, delayed to 2026. Who could have seen that coming? Oh, we did, but it's also joining Toy Story 5 and Mandalorian and Grogu in 2026 as well. And then we're going to cap things off here with QQQ for your old faithful ones that watch us. That is questionable quickfire questions, where I ask Nan the most stupid, ridiculous questions, and he answers them in the best way that he can. He's really good at it, so stick around for that one. That one's a lot of fun. Okay, let's get to it. I'm James, that's Nayan, and we're coming to you from Australia and New Zealand. And before we start off, I always say it, I always harp on about it. You guys know this by now. Drop your ideas, suggestions, anything below, and we will cover it on the show. Appreciate everyone who's joined us today, who's watching and enjoying our content. Please feel free to jump in the conversation in the comment section, as I just said just before. Otherwise, Nayan, you keen, mate? Should we just get straight into things here?
Yep, I got my beer, so let's do it.
Let's do it. I got my wine, so we're good to go. All right. Dev Patel, hot off the heels of Monkey Man, a really great action movie. Go and see it if you haven't seen it already. It's come out this weekend. Definitely go and see it. It's a really good one because it's kind of changed my mind about how I feel about this topic right now. But he said that he doesn't want to play James Bond. He said he would love to see Idris Elba play that role because if he did the role, he said that he would just kind of make it into a comedy and kind of make fun of himself in a way. Don't really know what he means by that. As for any updates about that role, apparently Aaron Taylor-Johnson remains hesitant to take on that role, and the producer for it has said that it's going to be someone, you know, in the 30 plus area, years of age, just because James Bond's a seasoned veteran. He's got experiences in the field already, so they just want someone to just jump in and just have the mantle of James Bond 007 straight away. Nayan, how do you feel about Dev Patel not wanting to be it? Would you have liked to see him kind of be in this role, or at least be in the mixture to get it, per se?
No, because not really. I mean,
one thing I should add on here is that Dev Patel is British. First and foremost, he's British. Yeah, so, yeah. It's a key thing of James Bond.
It is. Not really. Well, what I'm about to say is a bit irrelevant now because Monkey Man came out, but whenever I think of Dev Patel, I don't think of, an action sort of fighter.
That's irrelevant now, yeah.
But I think he would be a good James Bond, but it's probably one that I wouldn't want him to go into, because if he does become James Bond, then it's pretty much like, let's say it's a 10-year deal. So to speak, with multiple movies coming out, I'd rather just have him focus on directing more movies, because Monkey Man was fantastic, so I want to see what else he can do from a director's point of perspective. Mm-hmm. In regards to what the James Bond is, that he's a veteran and experienced, a little bit gutted. Mm-hmm. I think we touched upon it before. I would have liked to have seen him not become 00, but earn that title for the first movie, then go from there. But
you want the origins.
I want the origins,
Origin story, yeah.
Because we love origin stories here on Movie Games.
We do.
Despite what anyone else thinks.
On Twitter.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, a little bit gutted about that. But it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Idris Elba, where do you stand with him taking on the role potentially?
I think he's a little bit too old. But if they're doing like a Logan-style sort of James Bond, then I think he'll be good. He'll be perfect for it.
Like a one-and-done movie?
Yeah, one-and-done movie. But yeah, if you're thinking of having like a further, because he's what, 40, 50?
51.
Oh, yeah, he's an old boy, yeah. Go with old man James Bond if they ever want to do that route. But yeah, I think the next James Bond needs to like I said, they're in that role for the next 10 years pretty much, so it needs to be someone relatively young that can do that.
That's true. Well, I mean, I think it's probably best that we keep you away from fan cast for James Bond, because I know you're just going to say Alan Ritchson, and I don't even need to explain why he needs to be in that role, because he can stay far away from it. But in terms of how I take this news, I wouldn't actually, after seeing what Dev Patel is capable of on the action side of things, he can really bring, you know, a physical presence to the role. I mean, in terms of, you know, being involved in the practical stunts, and he's in that, I think he's like 33 or something like that. He's in like the prime of his life, so he'd be really good for the role, and he's a great actor just when it comes to, you know, emotional and, you know, anything kind of drama related. He's really good, and now we know that he can really do the physical side of things. I think he's got a really bright future. But I also do agree with you that I would love to see him do other things, you know, more original stuff. We saw what he could do with Monkey Man. If he wants to continue doing another Monkey Man, then I would be down for that. But yeah, no, I would rather see him pursue other opportunities out there, because I think there is a lot, and I think after Monkey Man, I think he's going to be getting a lot of phone calls. As for Aaron Taylor Johnson, again, he's my number one pick for this. I just think he can bring like a rough edge to it. I really want to see that in James Bond. Just someone who's just a little bit darker and a little bit more ruthless and cutthroat, you know. Yeah. Idris Elba, I feel, is a little bit more traditional, but I do agree with you that he's getting old. I mean, I was looking at the ages because I didn't know he was that old, but Daniel Craig, he joined in his mid-30s. That's when he got the role of James Bond, and now he's 55. You know, that's been like going on for nearly 20 years since Casino Royale was 2006. So I think, yeah, having someone in their 30s is good. I think 20s is a bit too young, lacking that look of maturity in them. So I would go for someone in their 30s. I think Aaron Taylor Johnson strikes the right balance. I really just hope it's not Henry Cavill. I think it's a very generic choice. I think for this James Bond, I think we do something a little bit different, a little bit more, something just different, a little bit more interesting. Spice up the character a little bit. Don't go crazy and, you know, have some kind of like alien or anything play it, but like just just spice it up a bit. Make James Bond a little bit, make him a little more three-dimensional. He doesn't always have to be the exact same, as long as he keeps, you know, certain things that make the character Bond, so to speak. Like, you know, the womanizer, the classiness, drinking and stuff like that. I'm not too familiar with it, but keep those core elements, but give him a little bit of spice. That's what I want to see. Dev Patel, if he does get the role, he's not going to, but if he did, I wouldn't be mad at all. Just clarifying that one. But you guys watching right now have enjoyed the segment. What do you guys think? Should Dev Patel just, you know, suck it up? Should he play the role? Or do you like Aaron Taylor Johnson? Is there someone else? Do you agree with Nan, Alan Ritchson to play the role? Or should there be someone else like Henry Cavill? I know that's another big fan cast as well. I'm going to stop those jokes for Nan. I feel bad for him. But yeah, let us know down in the comments below on who is your top choice to play Bond and if Dev Patel would actually be a good fit. And if you see Monkey Man, I want to know what your thoughts are on that too. All right. Nayan, Andor, something me, you and I, bro, we were so late to the party with Andor. We needed Kyan to guilt trip us into watching this TV show. And I think at this point we did not have faith in Star Wars, but Andor, brilliant. I think we can both agree on that. And a movie, we don't have much faith in Star Wars, in the future of it at least. Some of the projects we just don't really seem to care, but one we have cared about and really been interested in is Dawn of the Jedi. That is the movie that is being directed by James Mangold. And it's been written by him, John Ostrander, and now we got Bo Willimon from Andor joining the writing crew for this one. So we know what Mangold can do. Sure, Dial of Destiny was horrible. It was not a good movie at all. But he's done stuff like Logan and Ford vs. Ferrari, that's the one. Those are his two great ones. So we know what he's capable of as a director. And the concept of Dawn of the Jedi is great as well. Bo Willimon, he only wrote 3 episodes of Andor, but they're all the prison ones. The ones that it's arguably the best part of the series, where it's taking place in the Nakina 5 prison. So he's got he's really good at what he does, and he's Oscar nominated, all that kind of stuff. But so Dawn of the Jedi, it takes place 25,000 years before Star Wars Episode 4, and it just focuses on the discovery of the Force. So, Nayan, how awesome does this signing like feel for you, and does it make you just more like hype for this movie now?
Yeah, it does. I mean, that prison episode is probably one of the best episodes of TV I've seen in a long, long time recently. He also did House of Cards, worked on House of Cards as well, and I think it's safe to say the first two, three seasons of that was a fantastic show. So yeah, just the fact that the people behind this film is just getting stacked and stacked and stacked, so I just hope it really delivers, because you got three talented people behind the scenes there right now with probably the most interesting concept Star Wars has ever done since the inception of Star Wars. So
yeah.
Really looking forward to it, you know. Someone finding the Force for the first time, described as a biblical event. Who knows how that's going to play, but it's just everything about this is intriguing. And
yeah.
Yeah, can't wait for more news, more casting news, and hopefully, eventually, a first look.
Yeah, for sure. I have no idea when it's going to come out. As long as the cast news isn't Alan Ritchson being the lead in this. I know you'll be
tight for it. All right, guys, I'm leaving. See ya. James will finish this now.
Well, you make it too easy for me sometimes.
On about that guy, though. It's just a stupid meme.
I'm excited for this regardless of who's cast, to be honest, because you got a director like James Mangold. We know that what he can do with the big screen. He can provide thrills and the visual elements of the movie. He knows how to command that, at least. And it's safe to say with Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny, the visuals in that movie are not the problem. It is more the writing, which I think he did play a part in anyway. But, you know, he also played a part in that with Ford vs. Ferrari and Logan, which are amazing films. Oscar nominated, both of them, for good reason. So I have faith in James Mangold with this one. And now you add in someone like this, you know, a seasoned screenwriter who has experience doing, you know, really, really great stuff. I think some of the best stuff of Andor, the entire series, and particularly the episodes where he wrote, the dialogue is some of the best stuff you've seen. And that is the part that gets me super excited, because if he can bring that dialogue mastery to this movie, I think it's going to be good, because, as you said before, biblical event, I think you can do so much with, you know, the ideas and the themes and the messages in the discovery of the Force and what it means. I think dialogue is going to play a crucial part. I just cannot wait to see how this unfolds, because in some way I can see exactly how it looks based on the talent involved, but in another way I have no idea how it even will be, you know, the entire movie. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they can do for this one, because there's just so much that they can do. But it feels like a movie that's going to come out at 2030 at this point, because they're drip feeding us news, man. They're drip feeding us news. We need more quickly. All right. You guys watching. Forgot about you for a second there. I'm just focused on Nan.
As it should.
Yeah. But are you guys hyped even more now for this movie, or are you not excited at all? I know a lot of people have lost a lot of faith in Star Wars. Just you can look at the Acolyte trailer likes to dislikes ratio. People do not have faith in this series, but is this one that gets you excited? You know, you got James Mangold, now you got this writer coming on. Let us know down below what you think, and if it elevates your excitement or you don't care at all, just let us know down below. All right, Nayan, 2025 stacked year. We've been talking so much about a stacked year for 2025. Well, 2026 is starting to look pretty stacked, man. I'm getting hyped for back-to-back years now. You know, you got the Batman Part 2 pushback. You have supposedly Avengers 5. Yeah, Avengers 5 coming out. The one before Secret Wars is meant to be coming out. We'll have to see if that will actually happen or not. Now we have Toy Story 5, The Mandalorian, and Grogu have been slated in release dates. But more interestingly, and not surprisingly, Moana. Not Moana 2, the live-action Dwayne Johnson Moana has been delayed to 2026 from 2025. How do you feel about that movie entering the release slate? Was that a good move by Disney?
Don't really care. No one even wanted this in the first place, so who gives a shit, really? Just funny now that it's going to coincide with the 10-year anniversary of the animated one, so yeah, I guess that's something. So either they probably delayed it for that, probably also The Rock's schedule as well. He's doing the A24 movie, and he's busy with the WWE as of late, so there was no way that he would have been able to film this film this year, so... I guess it's just another plus.
Do you see any potential in it being good?
No. I mean, if you think about it, all the live action Disney remakes have been subpar, if not shit. So I think this will just follow the trend, you know, the fact that it's just exactly the same actors, or at least for Maui, at least, is the same. Like, at least with the live action ones, it was different. New cast or someone that didn't voice the original characters. So just, you know, what more are they going to do with this live action one? How are they going to make it more creative? No one knows. No one cares. So yeah,
I think you're right about no one cares. I mean, yeah, the only way they could really do it is if it's a, you know, a visual feast. You know, the way of the water paved the way for water being involved in live action films. And if Moana does that and makes it beautiful and look nice, I think the animated one, it looks gorgeous a lot of the time. So if they make it visually more appealing, I think it can be good. I like the first Moana. I think it's a good movie. So I think that's the ceiling for this movie, is good. I don't know how you can make it better, but there could be room for it to make it better. It's just the fact that, yeah, like you said, man, like the same actors and just the same story, at least have the same characters and the same actors, but make the story different, perhaps. Just, I think it's so dumb. Blows my mind. The next thing we're going to get is Frozen live action. You know it's going to happen. But yeah, 2026. We're looking ahead. Mandalorian and Grogu slated for May 22nd, 2026. How do you feel about that one? Are we excited for that one?
No. I had to convince myself in my answer just then. Nah, not really. I mean, the first two seasons of Mandalorian was good. Third one was a little bit not good. So, yeah, unless the fourth season is, you know, brings it back to those roots of Mandalorian and Baby Yoda.
When's that coming out?
I have no idea. Pedro Pascal is a busy boy off late, so who knows what that guy's schedule, because his schedule is insane. I'm pretty sure he's got this, Last of Us Part 2, now Fantastic Four, anything else? Probably other stuff as well, so he's doing rock work right now, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not that excited for it, unless season 4 is good. So yeah, Toy Story 5 though, intrigued, you know, you can never bet against Toy Story. I mean,
that's true.
When Toy Story 4 came out, we're all like, why? You had the perfect ending. And then when this news came out, we're like, why? You had the second perfect ending. So... So it's just like, hey, we're gonna go for 3 for 3, you know, you're gonna have the third perfect ending with this one. I can just see it. But yeah, if they do follow the, I don't know if it's rumors or what we really like for it, where it's based on Andy's kids, I think that would be an awesome concept to do for Toy Story 5. But yeah, it's just we still ask our question. Ask the question, why is this even here?
Money. Cash. Money.
Yeah. But hey, it's Toy Story. It is literally Pixar's baby. You know that they're not going to fuck that up.
No, not at all. I mean, I think, I would be excited for Toy Story 5 if they went the Andy's kids route, and he saw them at like a garage sale or some shit like that. I could be down for that. But I think tying it into something more, I guess, relevant and contemporary today, kids aren't playing with toys as much. They're playing with electronics. And if they adapt how toys are nowadays neglected, I think that'd be a really way to. It'd be an awesome theme to have in the movie, and an idea to explore. That would be, something really cool to see. I mean, I'm just thinking about 2026. Probably a bit prematurely, but we know Frozen 3 is 2026. Now you got Toy Story 5, Super Mario Bros. Movie 2, 2026. Beyond the Spider-Verse, I don't think that's coming out next year. I think that might be 2026. Shrek 5 could be 2026 as well, because we know Shrek 5 is coming, but we've would have heard news about it now for 2025. If you have Shrek 5, Toy Story 5, Frozen 3, Super Mario Bros. Movie 2, and Beyond the Spider-Verse, would that be the greatest year of animation in history?
Yes, 100%, without a shadow of a doubt.
That's a juggernaut of animated movies.
And then don't forget all of the original stuff that will come out as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's fucking stacked. It's literally three huge animation properties in Shrek, Toy Story, mm-hmm. and Frozen. And then you add in Spider-Verse, which is just probably, hopefully, is going to become one of the greatest trilogies of all time. Mm-hmm. Probably the best animation trilogy, if not series of all time. It's going to be fucking stacked. Next year is stacked for live action. 2026 is stacked for animation.
Yeah. And a quick thing before we move on to our QQQ segment. Toy Story 5, Frozen 3, Super Mario Bros. Movie 2, Shrek 5, and Beyond the Spider-Verse. Who wins that box office battle? Just a quick answer now. Who do you think would win that?
Are you asking me or the audience?
I'm asking you.
Toy Story. Easy.
You think Toy Story 5 wins it? Frozen?
I think... Oh.
Shrek 5, bro. The hype for Shrek 5 is off the charts. I feel. Or is Beyond the Spider-Verse the final? Or Mario, bro. It got $1.3 billion, man. I think it's beaten any Toy Story movie.
Nah. I think Frozen, you know. Every parent with their little girls are going to go see this. And by the time it comes out, they'll probably be, you know, the right age of Frozen, you know, 2 years old, boom, off you go.
I really couldn't say, that's a tough one. My heart says Shrek 5, though. In 2026, if Shrek 5 does come out, it'll be 25 years since Shrek 1. 25 years, bro. Where did the time go? But, like, you have that generation who's loved Shrek, and now they're going to pass it on to their kids and so on, you know? So... you're going to have two generations going to that one. Same with Toy Story. Oh, it's going to be a battle for sure. That is one I cannot wait to explore more. Hopefully, I need Shrek 5, dude. That's all I need in this life.
The world needs more Shrek. Shrek is love. Shrek is life.
Yeah, also, that script has come to life. All right, we're going to move on now to our QQQ. I'm going to share my screen with Nayan. Nayan, buddy, can you see it?
I can't see it, and I'm laughing because I'm just intrigued as where the fuck is this going to go, but it's all good. Hit me with the questions.
You know exactly where I'm going with this. So for those of you who did not tune into QQQ, the most ridiculous movie-related questions of all time, essentially I asked Nan exactly that, just the stupidest questions ever, and he has to give a good answer. But it has to be movie-related, of course. I do throw in some real-world... I guess, athletes, sports, all that kind of stuff. Just other random stuff. So we'll kick this off. Nayan, who would win in a 1v1? Baby Kong or Monkey Man?
Baby Kong. That's not my answer. But Baby Kong. Is a Baby Kong, is he like the same height as Monkey Man? Does he like get reduced, or is he his unit of a size?
He is what he was in the movie. I'm not editing him in this.
Oh, fucking Baby Kong then, bro.
That you're going Baby Kong.
Yeah, man, that guy's a giant, man. Even for a little baby thing, he'll just step on Monkey Man and Monkey Man will be like, the fuck, you know?
Yeah, but Monkey Man doesn't care, bro. He's confident. Baby Kong ain't confident. He'd run away.
That is true. And Baby Kong was more used as a weapon than an actual fighter, you know? He was essentially nunchucks at the end of the day. But yeah, if you're not going to reduce the size, then Baby Kong, he's just going to step on Monkey Man. If not, he'll probably think it's his brother. He'll be like, oh, yo, what's up, G? And then Monkey Man's just here trying to fight. He'll just be like...
steps on him. I don't know. Yeah. Monkey Man will find a way. But Baby Kong, Nan's going Baby Kong. What do you guys think? Let us, if you guys have any interesting thoughts about these questions, just answer them down below. 1 to 7. I've got 7 questions here. I just want to see other people's opinions because we're all not gonna agree with Nan, even if he does provide a lot of logic to his answers. All right.
And you should agree with me. I am right.
Exactly. All right. So the next two are going head to head, but they're both deeply bloodlusted. They're after blood. They don't care. They're going for it. Who's killing who, Nan? Remy or Stuart Little? Who's killing who?
Bro, Remy's a street rat, eh? He has, you know, he's got cooking utensils, he's got knives, spoon, forks, pots, pans, you name it, anything in the kitchen he can use. What is Stuart Little? You know, he's just a domesticated little bitch.
He has a little car. Remember his little car?
I do remember his little car. Nah, Remy will fucking destroy him. I mean, Stuart Little's too nice. He'll just he'll try run, but Remy will sniff him out. Chuck him in his next stew or ratatouille or something like that. And serve it up.
And he'll get into like his big robot, Linguini, and just go and like use him to like grab him and kill him and stuff.
Exactly. Like Remy coming for blood in this one. You just know.
Yeah. All right. Remy for the win for this one. All right, Nan. So Gordon Ramsay, he can now breathe underwater. Could he bring the chum bucket to the heights of the Krusty Krab?
Yes. The one thing that chum bucket needs is a decent shift because Plankton is just shoveling shit at the moment. You know, Gordon Ramsay comes in here, boom, he makes this 1-star restaurant to a 5-star restaurant. Mr. Krabs has gone bankrupt. He's gone. He has to sell Krusty Krab. You know who's going to buy Krusty Krab? Plankton in. Gordon Ramsay, boom, franchise, chum bucket right there.
All right, that's Nan's answer. Yeah. Yeah. So chum bucket with Gordon Ramsay could overtake the Krusty Krab. I love
not,
it.
Not could, will.
Will. All right. If Michael Jordan and LeBron James teamed up, could they successfully break into the Batcave undetected?
What? No. Absolutely not.
They couldn't.
What skills do these guys have except for jumping and dunking and running?
They jump over all the traps?
I guess, but they'll be detected. You know, they're fucking units. They're tall boys. Like, they'll be picked up on the cameras and everything. So, nah, man. Batman will see these guys coming and be like, what the hell are you guys doing? Just absolutely smash them.
So you're not giving any vote of confidence to these guys? They can't do it. The goats.
Nah. Absolutely not. Undetected into the Batcave. No way.
Fair enough. And you know Batman better than anyone, so that's fair enough. All right, here's an interesting one for you. I really want to see how you react to this. Who's winning in a race? Lewis Hamilton in a Toyota Blade or you in an F1 car?
Okay, I'm going to provide some context to this. The Toyota Blade is the car that I drive. And the picture that James has right now is the exact car, exact color. And exact rims as well. It's pretty much exactly the same car, except a hell of a lot cleaner and shinier. Yeah. I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton in the Blade because if I get behind that F1 vehicle, I'm going to absolutely crash and I'll probably end up, you know, killing myself because it's just too much power. I'll just be like, boom! where Louis Hamilton can just like chill, wait for me to die, and then boom, he wins a race, you know?
It's like the tortoise and the hare, that fairy tale. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, you'd be really good on the straights, man, but you just wouldn't break in time. You wouldn't go, you'd just go keep going straight into the barrier, I feel.
Exactly. Yeah. And I suck at car racing games because I always hit the walls. So I'm guaranteed to kill myself for sure, but in a massive crash. Might have some casualties as well. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I like that reasoning. All right, Nan. Could Walter White teach Superman to cook meth before Batman could teach Jesse Pinkman how to fight?
No way. Superman is too good and pure to delve into the drugger business. You know, he's one of those people that would say drugs is bad. Why am I doing this? Where with Batman, he'll be able to channel into Jesse Pinkman's, you know, dark side of his character and rage, and just bring out the best and worst of Jesse Pinkman and make him into an absolute weapon. He's basically Robin now, an older Robin.
All right, so Jesse can learn how to fight from Batman faster than Superman can cook meth, or learn how to cook meth.
Exactly, because the hardest part Walter White needs to do is convince Superman. And that is it. And I don't even think he's going to get past that first step. So teaching is just irrelevant.
Yeah. A side question to this, though. If Walter White gave him ricin, would it kill him? Or is he just too strong for that?
I don't think he'll feel it, if I'm being honest.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. I saved the juiciest for last. We got a scenario question this time.
All right.
It's not a yes or no. You need to explain this one to me. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll show you now. All right. So Deadpool is tasked with killing Hagrid at Hogwarts. Hagrid learns of this, and he employs Kevin McAllister to protect him. What once was an easy assassination, things have changed. Deadpool knows the potential danger that lies in front of him. Not only does he need to get into Hogwarts to kill Hagrid, but he has to go up against one of the most deadly forces in the multiverse. Deadpool will be attempting this in the middle of the night during the thunderstorm. That might just be the safest time. Can he pull this off?
Nah. Kevin McAllister's here for blood, you know. We've seen what he does to just, you know, ordinary street thugs, almost killing them with bricks and shit. Add in, like, the magical world and this giant of a man as well. Kevin McAllister's going to absolutely destroy Deadpool, man. He's just, you know, he's going to use the Whomping Willow. He's going to use the Basilisk. He's going to charm everyone. Hell, he'll bring Lord Voldemort back from the dead and absolutely destroy Deadpool, you know. And Hagrid's just there, you know. While Kevin McAllister's at work, he'll just be in his cabin, you know, with Norbit too, telling him a little lullaby. And then, guess what? Kevin McAllister comes into Hagrid's hut and be like, yo, gee, I need Norbit too. Grabs Norbit too, boom, flamethrower.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot. But, hey, Deadpool can't be killed. How does the great Kevin McAllister deal with that?
Avada Kedavra.
Doesn't work. He grows back. He comes back.
I think Deadpool will just keep... It will be like a montage thing of Kevin McAllister doing all these unique and gruesome kills, and Deadpool just keep coming back and coming back, and then Deadpool's like, bro, I have to quit. I'm not being successful here, and he'll go to somewhere else. You know, he might go to another wizarding school because, you know, Hogwarts is just the security that they have hired.
Too good.
And Kevin McAllister is just A-class tier, you know. Not even Voldemort would want to come after Harry if McAllister was one of the students.
I feel like if Kevin McAllister was to do this, he would destroy Deadpool to, like, just... He'd shrink him down, just a really tiny piece of him is left, to grow back very slowly. And then he'd put a charm that would keep an everlasting flame. So Deadpool, as fast as he grows back, burns off. So he's just burning for his entire life.
Pretty
the flame just continues.
Yep, that is a sick mind of Kevin McAllister, you know. He is.
Yeah, he's a sadistic little fuck, that one.
Yeah, he's a fucking cunt. That's what he is. He will do anything. He no hold barred with him. He doesn't care who he hurts. He just wants to hurt. He needs to hurt. He has to hurt.
Exactly. Yeah, he gets a real thrill out of it. Yeah, we need a new Home Alone movie. That's with him.
Home Alone?
No, that's why I said with him in it. All right. That is the perfect segue to get off that topic. I do not ever want to hear that movie mentioned ever. But to you guys watching this segment, Do you guys like the QQQ? Do you like the questionable quickfire questions? The most ridiculous movie questions that I asked Nayan. If you guys have any questions that you'd like me to ask Nayan, flick it through to us. Nayan, don't check the comments. I don't want you to be spoiled by them. I want these to be a surprise for you. But otherwise, just comment below in the segment here. Or you can just answer the questions that I asked Nayan. I really want to hear a variety of opinions on this. And just go ahead and tell Nayan why he's wrong about some of them.
I'm not.
Because I do believe Michael Jordan and LeBron James could break into the Batcave undetected. I'm just saying. They could. But Nayan will never admit it. They'll walk right in. You'll never expect it. You'd think they go through secret entrances. That's for the audience to decide. They are going to be the ones to do it. But otherwise, that is going to cap things off here. It's a nice, short, sweet, fun one from us today. And that's because Nayan is going to have a hell of a job hosting next week. CinemaCon is on. There's going to be so much news coming out. All this cool stuff. We're going to see reactions to movies coming out, where they're going to play the entire thing in front of the audience. We're going to hear so much cool stuff. I cannot wait to, you know, dive into what we're going to be covering. We might have to do, you know, a little bit more than usual, but that is great for everyone here, including you guys. But thank you for joining us. Your support and engagement does mean a lot to us. So, yeah, do thank you for watching and listening to us. If you guys are on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell, get notifications from us. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, all those social media platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you pod from. You can listen to us if you want to commute or during your workout, whatever it may be. Otherwise, moviegames.com, you can find all of our long-form extended content there. Otherwise, thank you so much for joining us. Keep bringing the hype. Peace.
See ya.